Well, good day and welcome back to the 5-Day Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Lance Ward, and each week we will review what we read this week in the Old and New Testaments of our Bibles. And always remember, you can download a PDF of this plan in the description of this podcast. Well, we're in week 22. We're almost halfway through the year. We'll be halfway through the year at week 26. And we read this week 1 Chronicles 22 through 29, 2 Chronicles 1, 1 Kings 1 through 4, Psalms 78, 42, and 43, Proverbs 1 and 2, and Romans 5 through 9. In 1 Kings 3, Solomon asks for wisdom, but in what sense? Because wisdom is more than mere intelligence or book smarts, right? Well, verse 9 helps us to understand the crux of true godly wisdom. He says that I may discern between good and evil. It would seem that the difference between good and evil should be obvious, and sometimes it is, but you see the same idea of discernment in the New Testament, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Hebrews 5, 14. This is not just the wisdom to know right from wrong, but to know the mind of the Lord in matters that maybe aren't so obvious. Solomon was likely asking for more than just knowing the right answers. He was pleading for heavenly insight into matters that could not be clear apart from the direction of God's Spirit. May Solomon's prayer frequently be ours, especially in times when views of right and wrong seem to shift. We will face many gray areas in life where we really aren't sure which way is the right way. We may also encounter worldly philosophies and perspectives that have a lot going for them, but may subversively steer us off the path of righteousness in subtle and quiet ways. So let us have the humble spirit of Solomon, who cried out for the kind of wisdom we can't find anywhere else but through God's Spirit. As I read of the psalmist's hunger and thirst for the Lord in Psalm 42, I asked myself, do I yearn for comfort alone or for the comfort of God's presence? We can desire many good things, including safety, security, friendships, excellent health, financial freedom, and straight teeth. But I hope we can learn to hunger for God's presence above all things. That way, if we lose some or all of those things, we can still say, as Paul said in the New Testament, I have learned the secret of being content. Asaph, the author of Psalm 78, knows well the history of God's people, as well as their tendencies to forget all that God has done and lose faith in Him, therefore. May this psalm serve to challenge us to keep trusting in the Lord and to never forget all He has done for those who belong to Him. This psalm, by the way, is almost the opposite of another popular psalm by Asaph, Psalm 73. In that one, he looks forward to what is to come, but here he looks back at what God has already done. Either one of those exercises can really help us when we feel overwhelmed. As you started to read through Proverbs, one main theme you probably saw is the way of the wise and the way of the fool. Watch out for this prevalent idea, as most of the Proverbs were written so that we seek the path of the wise and avoid the path of fools. Many believers I know read one chapter of Proverbs every day corresponding to the day of the month, and that's a great way to keep our minds and our souls attentive to ourselves so that we stay on wise paths. So, you know, maybe on the first day of the month, read Proverbs 1 and just so on until you reach the end of the month and then just start over. If you ever struggle to have a worshipful spirit, meditate on Romans 5, 1 through 11. What a beautiful synopsis of the gospel and of Christ's great love for us. I took a few moments this time to study just verses 9 through 11 in chapter 5 in their original language, which can help clarify how our salvation is totally dependent on Christ's work, especially since some of the main verbs are in what we call the passive voice, something we did not do, but that was done for us or to us. For example, it says, we have now been justified, passive voice. We shall be saved by Him, passive, from the wrath of God. While we were His enemies, we were reconciled, passive voice. Now that we are reconciled, passive voice, we shall be saved, passive voice, by His life. So much has been done for us in and through Christ. All we do is receive this glorious gift. And I reminded that song here, what a friend we have in Jesus. Notice in Romans 6, there's this continuing theme that Paul is familiar with of righteousness, as well as the idea of kingdom transfer, how we who are in Christ have been delivered from one dominion to another. Notice the purpose of salvation also in Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised, so we might also walk in newness of life. Here it reminds us that God has saved us not just to take us to glory and be with Him forever, which I'm really looking forward to, but also to walk in a new way while on earth. I noticed in Romans 7 through 8 this time that the term law is mentioned 29 times. So if you've ever wrestled with the relationship between law and gospel, go through these chapters and write down what Paul says about law and how it relates to the gospel. And now I have a bias alert. Romans 8 might just be my favorite chapter in all of Scripture. I don't know if it's okay to have a favorite chapter, but if it is okay, I'm probably picking Romans 8. A few of my observations this go round. First, the first section, questions that were answered. Life in the flesh versus life in the Spirit. What's that look like? What does it mean to walk in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit? What does it mean to set our minds on the flesh versus the Spirit? Those were questions I was asking as I was reading. What does Paul mean when he says the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God? I asked myself, shall we try to improve the flesh or shall we walk by the Spirit instead? I remember hearing someone say, the flesh never improves. We can't try to improve our flesh, but we can live being guided by the Spirit. In verses 18 through 25 of Romans 8, notice how the presence and reality of groaning opens the door to hope. Notice how our present suffering will magnify our future glory. What great hope in a dark world. This is a key passage to bookmark for times of inevitable discouragement. It comes across realistic without being pessimistic, and hope-filled without sounding naive. You might have noticed, too, how Romans 8:1 and Romans 8:39 sort of bookend the chapter. It starts with, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and ends with, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are not only free from God's condemnation in Christ, we are also bonded to His unfailing love in Christ. And that's a great way to end this week with that bit of hope. Next week, we will read Proverbs 3 through 15, Psalm 7, 144, and Psalm 8, and we will end with Romans 10 through 14. So we look forward to it. Look forward to joining you next week. You might want to go back as I did, read Romans 8 again, and just bathe in that chapter. There is so much there. So, you know, the podcast wasn't as long this week, but man, I could spend all kinds of time in Romans 8. Did I mention that I like that chapter? Okay, I think I did. Well, that concludes our podcast for this week. I'm just listening to myself speak at this point. Have a great week. Appreciate you joining us. We'll see you then.